I know for a fact that you are the solution to someone else's problem. And there are people who are literally waiting and praying for you to show up in their lives right now. And a podcast literally gives you the opportunity to reach almost anyone, almost anytime, almost anywhere in the world. And even if you don't want to start your own show, which you certainly don't have to, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of shows that are looking for guests just like you.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, the fighting entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's up, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? Guess who it is? Your favorite person in the whole wide world, Anik Singhal, back with another powerful episode. Today, how to make millions with a podcast. How to make millions of dollars with a podcast. It's a very relevant topic. And today will be a consult session for sure. Because here's the thing. I'm actually, by the time you're listening to this podcast episode, I am past the 2-year mark of running this podcast. I cannot believe that. I've never been able to commit to a darn thing in my life when it comes to content creation. This one I have, and I love it. I look forward to every episode because I learn from it. I use it very selfishly, as you guys have known. I don't, you know, no one can just ask to be on the podcast. I don't do the people that are doing book tours and all that nonsense. You have to have a topic that I really want to learn about. And so today, having been in doing this podcast for over 2 years, I'm sure I've made money from it. Indirectly, I'm sure it's helped me with my promos and all. But you've probably noticed there's no ads. You know, I don't know how to make money from this podcast. Like, I just do it because I learn from it. So I'm going to bring on an expert. All right. Today, we're going to bring on an expert. He really is an expert because he's the founder of Podcast Magazine. So it doesn't get pretty much, you can't find another expert out there. But before we talk him up and talk about him, are you a member of Learn.com? LURN.com. What's going on? Come on, get over there. It's absolutely free. We're close to 500,000 members now. 2021 is the year of just features coming into this platform. You're going to be blown away by what we are going to be adding. Community features, connection and facilitation features. These are all free. There's also a ton of free courses in there. So look, I have said this for years. It's more true now, and you're seeing it too. The government is not going to save the world. The government's not even going to change the world. Actually, I think the government may ruin the world. You want to make progress in this world? It's entrepreneurs. We got to stick together. And that's why I built Learn. So get in there, LURN.com. Go join and be a part of the revolution. All right. Now, having said that, AnikPodcast.com also for all of our episodes. Go binge on them, AnikPodcast.com. Please rate it, subscribe to it, tell everyone about it, help us grow. Okay, enough about me and all the things I want to promote to you. Now, let's get to the topic of the day, how to make millions with a podcast. We have today a friend of mine now for many years, probably, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years I've known of him. He is not only the founder of Podcast Magazine, but he was the founder of Liquor.com, something that we all need in our lives, I feel like, sometimes. And he helped bring it to us, but he sold that company. He's also the founder of New Media Summit. It is known to be one of the top live events in the world of podcasting. And like he says, new media. And he also has, you know, he's, I don't know if I want to say built or what's the right word, but done over $50 million of development. That's what I'm looking for in real estate. Why do I tell you all this? What a random, I feel, wide range of experience as an entrepreneur. And I really love that because you know everything he shares with you comes from depth and experience, which is so important as an entrepreneur. So everyone help me in welcoming to our fighting entrepreneur community today, Steve Olscher. Steve, thanks so much for being here, man.
Hey, man. Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, Steve, we have a tradition here at The Fighting Entrepreneur. If you could raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Steve Olscher.
I, Steve Olscher.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
To tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
To tell the truth and nothing but the truth.
And reveal my podcast monetization secrets.
And reveal my podcast monetization secrets.
Wouldn't it be funny if this came up in court one day? It's like, you are being held in perjury. Yes, perjury. Man, Steve, thanks so much for being here. You know, it's I was talking to you, I think, a few months ago, and I told you, watching you launch the Podcast Magazine has been really fun. It really has. And it's very rare that I put a promo in this podcast up front, but I love this magazine. I love what you've done with it. You are getting some serious celebrities to be on the cover of it. What is the URL? So people that are listening right now, if they want to just go take a peek.
I appreciate that. And we'll do even better. Just go to podcastmagazine.com/free and you can join us for the ride.
Ah, it's amazing. Yeah, everyone. So tell us a little bit. What are some of the guests or some of the cover guests that you've had? I mean, there's some big names on there.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting, man. You know, I've been in the podcasting world for a long time, actually since 2009. And as you said, I've got my own shows and I've done things in this landscape. It really didn't open the doors that I was hoping that it would open in terms of having my own shows. But for whatever reason, man, once we launched the magazine, it's like in almost every door that we want to open, if you have a podcast or you are tied to the world of podcasting in any way in this vertical, you want to sit down and you want to talk with Podcast Magazine. It's so funny because everybody talks about new media and I want to be in, you know, this and the internet and this, that, and the other. It's like a magazine, right back to the old school, still carries a lot of cachet and carries a lot of weight. And I will say that the people who are featured in the magazine, I mean, people like Katie Couric and Jordan Belfort and Jillian Michaels and Dave Ramsey and Adam Carolla and, you know, all the people that we've been able to sit down with, these are actual interviews that we have done. So it's not like we've just gone and gotten and kind of scraped the internet and put something together. I mean, I've actually had the honor and the privilege of sitting down with all of these amazing people who, frankly, like I said, would never have answered my emails or pick up the phone if I called, just on the merits of the podcast that I had going on alone. So, yeah, man, it's been a really interesting trek here, and we're still fairly embryonic.
That's awesome. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about the magazine definitely at the end, because one of the things that I asked you even before we started is I said, love to have a magazine one day in the future. So at another episode in some other time, we'll come talk about the process of creating a magazine, because I can only imagine how hard it is. So let's talk about podcast monetization. I saw recently you posted on your Facebook that you actually just sold a podcast of yours. And then you just told me you're selling your other one too. So help me out. I don't think I want to sell mine, although I do want to talk about that. So I want to start by saying whatever you can share a little bit about the whole acquisition process. And then later on, I just want to kind of throw the Learn podcast or my podcast, sorry, the Fighting Entrepreneur podcast in front of you. Like, how do I monetize it if I can monetize it? Mostly I would use any money that I make from it to grow it, to be very honest with you. I would just start piling more money into growing it. But yeah, talk to us. So what happened? Tell us the whole story of how you ended up selling it.
Yeah. So I started a show called Beyond Eight Figures in 2018. And there was a really awesome guest on really early in that process by the name of Onyx Ngal. So, you know, I mean, come on, man, right? Beyond Eight Figures. Yeah, and the idea out of the gate was I wanted to sit down with entrepreneurs who have either exited a business for more than $10 million or are currently running a business that grosses more than $10 million annually, and get to the bottom of how they start and scale, and in some cases, exit from that business. So for me, to be honest, it was a Rolodex play. That's the only reason that I started the show. And having clarity around why you're doing what you're doing, it certainly in terms of the podcast landscape and probably in the entrepreneurial landscape in general, right? I mean, you got to have that clarity around, look, what is really my overriding objective here? What am I trying to accomplish? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And so at the time, and you mentioned I've developed over $50 million in real estate. At the time, I had been kicking around launching a new company, which we will probably launch at some point down the line, called Latitude, L-A-T-A-T-U-D. And basically what Latitude was supposed to be and will be at some point is it's a real estate play, but it is... for lack of a better term, it's creating a third class of housing that doesn't currently exist. Let's just call it housing as a service. And so the idea is basically for a set monthly fee, you have the ability to move from location to location as often as every 30 days. We'll have, well, lots of locations around the globe that we actually own. You'll have privacy. So it's not like you're just sharing a room or something of that nature and just trying to, you know, pick out a couch or a bed or some, you know, place this, that, and the other, really nice places. You have privacy, this, that, and the other. But the big kicker is you'll build equity as if you're a homeowner without the headaches of home ownership. And so what Latitude was going to do is it's really going to solve that problem of almost dematerializing real estate, so to speak, and demonetizing real estate and giving people fractional pieces, very different from timeshare. But long story short, it's something that we've put on the back burner. But at the time, what I was thinking is we need to raise a crap ton of money around this to be able to build the infrastructure, have the housing and so forth, and give people the opportunity to be a part of what we're doing, right? So beyond eight figures, the idea was, let me build my Rolodex. Let me tap into people who have the ability to stroke checks or introduce me to people who can. And so as we began moving down the path of, well, Podcast Magazine, as you mentioned, all the podcast related initiatives, it became very clear that while we'll still do Latitude at some point in the future, it's on the back burner. And so what do? Well, we've got this asset. We've got, you know, a great Rolodex of people who have been guests on the shows. It's a great brand. What do we do with this thing? And I started thinking about, you know what, man, let's see if we can sell it. And we bundled it and packaged it and started marketing it for sale, knowing that we've done all of the heavy lifting and we've done all the work necessary for someone to come in and get a really good foothold into this space if they're looking to target listeners who are interested in entrepreneurship and more specifically learning from people who have reached a certain level in their entrepreneurial career. And so that's what we did. We packaged it. We put together a deck and the whole nine to really demonstrate where the value is for a buyer on this, and went out and we started shopping it. And sure enough, we ended up finding someone who loves the asset, loves what it is that we've done, and really is just giving them a jump start into this world with a show that already has almost 200 ratings and reviews, and just everything that they need is already in place. All we have to do is transfer the assets and they can hit the ground running.
Wow. I have so many questions. So first of all, how do you sell a podcast? Like, when you want to sell a house, you list it in the MLS. How do you sell a podcast? Is it just by getting the word out? Is there a site you can list it at? How did you approach that?
Great question, man. So right now, one of the things that we are actually developing is a podcast marketplace, because we believe that there is the opportunity for both buyers and sellers to take advantage of these existing assets. And no matter how you slice it, these have value. I mean, even if you have a show that has 100 downloads, it has value. It may not be $1 million, but it's certainly more than a dollar. And of course, if you have a show that has 10,000 or 20,000 or 50,000 downloads per episode, well, that of course has value as well. So the answer is it doesn't exist right now. So we are actually in the process of creating that podcast marketplace. And in conjunction with that, what we have developed is a podcast valuation tool. So you can literally just plug in a handful of numbers, and within just a matter of moments, you will have a pretty decent understanding of what the value is of the asset that you've spent, in some cases, years creating.
So how about you, though? How did you sell it? Was it just through word of mouth?
Yeah. So we have our own list, and I've been developing relationships with coaches and authors and speakers and podcasters and entrepreneurs, et cetera, over years and years. I literally went to my own list and just said, hey, the time has come. We're parting ways with these shows. If you're interested, hit me up.
And so how big did it get? Like, how many downloads? Is there any public information just so someone can kind of gauge, like, okay, how big does an episode of a podcast have to get before it's sellable?
Yeah. And I will tell you that Beyond Eight Figures never hit critical mass. We had been doing the show. You were on the show actually in one of the first 10 episodes back in 2018 when we launched. We never hit critical mass. We would get to about 1,000 downloads per episode within a 90-day period. Out of the gate, it was 400 to 600 downloads an episode. And all in on it, under 100,000 downloads by the time we hit the sale button.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. And your transaction, was it all stocks? Was it a value trade, or was there cash involved in it?
Yeah, so it was cash and crypto. So interestingly enough, when we first structured the deal, Crypto was around, Bitcoin specifically, was around 10, 11 grand, something like that, when we first structured the deal. It's gone up in value since then, man.
Yeah. I mean, and it may, by the time people are listening, it may be even higher. But at the time that we're filming this, it's like 15,000 or something, last I checked.
Yes, we've had a nice little bump since we structured that deal. And I'm not going to sit here and say this is retirement money. But let's just say I can buy a pretty damn good car with what we're going to get out of this thing.
That's awesome. How many episodes had you done for it?
Under 100. So we were, I believe we were right around 75, 78, something like that in total. So under 100 episodes.
So how is a podcast valued? So I'm thinking in my head, right? Like if I had to guess, and my podcast guys are here, we get about 90 days, 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 watches, about that. But 7,000 to 8,000 in a 90-day window. I mean, we also haven't really hit critical mass. I mean, it's a, you know, I do it for myself, so I don't focus a lot on growing it. But is there some kind of value number, like if I wanted to know what my podcast is worth?
Right, and that's exactly the valuation tool that we are in the final stages of finishing up right now. So you could literally just take those numbers, plug it in. How many downloads do you get? How many episodes do you release? How often do you release those episodes, et cetera, et cetera. Plug in the basic numbers and you'll have a pretty good sense. It's not going to be obviously a perfect science, because so much of the value here, Anik, I mean, as you know, and you've been in this business and in this world for a long time, the value is really in the eye of the beholder, right? It's really in the eye of the buyer. So if you've got, like, we've helped people create really niche shows. We helped a dentist who had a really successful practice, and he wanted to teach other dentists how to create their own successful practices. So we branded him as the 10K a day dentist, helped him. His goal was to help dentists get to $10,000 a day in revenue with their practice. So we branded him as the 10K a day dentist. Part of that is we launched a podcast called the 10K a day dentist and an online course called the 10K a day dentist, right? But if you look specifically at the podcast itself, you're never going to hit critical mass with a show called the 10K a day dentist. Mm-hmm. But if you've got 500 downloads per episode, who's going to be listening to a show called the 10K a day dentist, right? Obviously dentists and people that are in that world.
Or some very strange people.
Or some very strange people, right? Yeah. And so what's the value to a company that specifically wants to get in front of dentists and people who run, you know, dental offices and these, right? I mean, how do you do that? Where do you do that? And what's the value of getting in front of those people? So to someone who has a product or a program or a service that focuses specifically on helping dentists, what they're going to value that podcast at is going to be significantly different than what you and I would value it at.
That's true. All right. Fair enough. If someone came to you, let's say a new student from Learn said, that's it, I want to make a podcast and I want to sell a podcast. And you had to say, okay, here are some metrics you should aim to shoot for before you even think you're sellable. What would those be?
So I would start out with a different question, which is, what are the assets that you can create that have value, right? In other words, it's not just a podcast, because a podcast in and of itself doesn't necessarily have tremendous value, especially if you're looking at something that's a more niche-oriented show, or you don't think you're possibly going to get to critical mass, which is harder and harder to do now that there are deeper and deeper pockets coming into the game, right? So what I would say is, what are the other assets that you can create around the podcast that have value? Like, starting out first and foremost with just simply trademarking, right? Like, think about the Fighting Entrepreneur. Do you have that trademarked?
I don't think so.
Right. Do it. Yeah. Like, today. And I'm happy to refer you to my guy.
I actually think we may have. I have to check. But no, yeah, it's a good question.
Right. So just as an example, what are the assets that you can begin stacking one upon the other, upon the other, upon the other? Because ultimately, the value of the sale of Beyond 8 Figures went far beyond the number of downloads. We also had, of course, a website with traffic. We also had all of the social handles that had followers. We have email subscribers, people who have raised their hand to say, I want information about Beyond 8 Figures. We had our Rolodex of guests, right? What is the value to someone to be able to, and you'll get this email on it, you know, I mean, you'll get this email because you were a guest on the show, right? So what's the email going to say? It's going to say, hey, we just sold beyond eight figures. We want to introduce you to the new owners. They've got big plans for the show. If you'd like to come back on and share what you're up to, blah, 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 here's their contact information, go, right? So what's the value of being able to have that email introduction to Onyx and Gall, to Roland Fraser, to Chip Conley, to Naveen Jain, right? To all of these people. So yeah. I don't want to answer your question with a number of you have to have X number of downloads in order to have value. Because what if you created a community? What if we created a mastermind, Onyx, of only the guests that were on Beyond Eight Figures? Would you have wanted to be in a mastermind, right? With people who you knew had either exited from a business for more than $10 million or currently were running businesses that gross more than $10 million annually? Where do you even find that sort of mastermind? I know they exist, and I don't want to get into, I know there are some that exist, but the point being, if we handed that buyer a mastermind of 10, you know, of eight figure plus entrepreneurs, how does that get valued? So the question that I believe you really need to ask yourself is not how many downloads can I get to and what does that number have to be, but really what are the assets that I can begin piling one on top of the other, where it's no longer 1 + 1 = 2, but it's that 1 + 1 = 11.
No, makes sense. All right, let's change the topic a little bit. Let's talk about monetizing. So you've got my podcast, The Fighting Entrepreneur. If all of a sudden tomorrow you were sitting in my shoes and the goal was, initiative was monetize, and obviously you've been in these shoes, you had your podcast. Talk about how podcast owners can monetize.
Yeah, so there's a number of different ways to do that. And first and foremost, it all begins, in my way of thinking, with identifying what we call your profit path, right? Your profit path being what happens when someone doesn't know about you, then they learn about you, then they decide that they like you, and they want to come into your ecosystem to learn more about who you are and what you're doing. And then what are the relevant products, programs, and services that follow beyond that initial point of, hey, I like this guy and I want to be in his world. So having a clear understanding of your profit path and what I teach and what I really believe in and what we encourage our clients all to think about are these five words, which are everything starts with the offer. Everything starts with the offer. And what I know to be true for most entrepreneurs is that they're stepping over dollars to get to dimes, right? And so when you think about, hey, here's my profit path, and what's the last step on the path that someone can take with me and my organization? In other words, what is that highest price product, program, or service? Knowing that not everyone who comes into your ecosystem is going to be able to reach that last step on the path, but there are certainly going to be a handful of people who will, design from that point backwards. So whatever that highest priced offering is, whatever that entails, design from that point backwards, all the way to what you do on your show. Because what your show should do for you is it should ostensibly be a starting point to moving people towards the last step on the path. And okay. So if you think about it, go ahead.
I was just gonna ask, so where you're going with it is that for someone to truly monetize a podcast, they should have some lineup of products that they sell themselves. And in our world, information products are the best. I love information products, and there's such a wide range, and you can charge upwards of $50,000 for masterminds all the way down to $7 for a book. So the number one way, it seems to me, that you're saying to monetize a podcast is by having a product lineup of your own, where you use the podcast as the entry point to establish relationships so that you can then market those programs to them. Did I summarize that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, obviously there are opportunities with traditional, you're familiar, of course, with sponsorships and advertising and so on and so forth. Like you said, you don't do that. There are those opportunities, but you have to get to some degree of critical mass before it begins making sense. One of the things that I love doing on the show, and I think you kind of alluded to this in terms of the word, using the word consult, right? And so one of the things that I really love doing is modeling what I can do and what our organization can do for others in terms of literally taking someone. So let me give you an example. And again, don't worry about how many downloads you have or how big your show is, or it doesn't matter. You have the ability to monetize any show in any niche. But a friend of ours has a show that caters to audiophiles, people who love high-end stereo equipment. And so not a hugely popular show in terms of the number of downloads, right? But obviously from a monetization standpoint, what can you do if you're in that vertical, if you're an audiophile-oriented company? How do you reach people who raise their hands and go, I'm willing to spend $20,000 on a pair of speakers, right? Like there's just only a handful of those types of people out there, but they exist. So what can this host do who is, you know, really catered in that direction so far as monetization is concerned? Well, number one, of course, these are people who will pay significantly higher CPMs than the norm. Right? Because even if you just have 500 or 1,000 people listening to each episode, you're not going to be charging $100 a CPM in that case, right? They're going to be paying a lot of money.
So I want to, a lot of people listening, they won't know exactly what we're talking about. So $100 CPM is cost per 1,000 downloads in this case?
Yeah.
Okay. So for example, if someone's getting 1,000 downloads per episode, you could, in a normal podcast world, charge $100 for someone to place an ad on the high end. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this case, all day long, he's getting $2,500 or more, right? And wow. You know, and you can sit there and you can say, oh, that's not very much, $2,500. Well, guess what? If he just does one episode a week, that's a six-figure revenue stream. That's one episode per week, right? And how many of you would love to add six figures just spending a couple hours a week, 1 hour recording something and 1 hour editing and putting it out for the world to listen to, right?
So question here. That is really interesting. And I'll tell you why I find it interesting. I think it's easier to build that podcast up than it would be even in the bigger niches. So like if you're an enthusiast of high-end speakers, you know, there's probably very small communities out there that you could get in front of. And if you do good content, I think it'll go viral very quickly and you don't need to hit massive numbers. And you just said the CPMs go through the roof. I mean, it's ridiculous, from $100 to $2,500. So here's a question. Let's say I want to find someone who will pay me that $2,500 for that sponsorship. Now, to find that person, is there a place I can go? Is there an agent I can hire? Or am I just going to have to start knocking doors? And then how do I find the doors that I need to knock?
Yeah. And then let's circle back to other monetization strategies as well. So obviously, yep, as you get to be bigger, you have agencies, right? I mean, we don't have to name names here, but all you got to do is look at the charts. You see the same shows in the charts every single week. All of those companies are represented by agencies. They go out, they shop it, they find advertisers. The hosts of the show does nothing. Now, for the rest of us mere mortals, who don't have the ability of having, you know, 1 million downloads per episode or whatever that, you know, crazy numbers are there. And, you know, and the reality is, as I said, there, you know, there's a lot of money coming into the space right now, which is great in terms of up, you know, just building up the medium, which is awesome. But at the same token, you talk about the haves and the have nots. That, I mean, that spread and that divide is widening by the moment, right? So the large majority of people will never have an agency repping their show. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. So what do you do? Well, in his case, you know, in terms of having a show that caters to audiophiles, it starts with putting out really great content. It starts with having, and I mean, you're an expert at this, man. It starts with creating a supporting site that is keyword laden so that people who are searching for that on Google and so on, find the site, find the podcast, and even just owning that phrase, audiophile podcast, as an example. Right. And just making sure that you get found. It all begins first with just creating really great content. And in most cases, Anik, what I'll say is that those shows, especially those niche shows where people are finding a lot of success from a monetization standpoint, they just really love what they're talking about. Like they don't care if they're going to make any money or not. It's like if you go into it with the thinking of I'm going to make a crap ton of money off of this and I don't really have any love for it, it's really just a commodity oriented opportunity. That's going to be a very different experience for you as the host and, of course, for the audience if you're thinking money, money, money as opposed to just love, love, love. And yeah. So, you know, I mean, if he never made a dime off of that, he just loves that world and can talk about it till he's blue in the face.
Yeah. No, it's true. I just have a random question, and it's a curiosity question. You may or may not know the answer to, and then we'll go to the other ways of monetizing. More generic shows, like political opinion type shows, these can usually garner viewership faster just because it's mass media. What kind of CPMs do they usually get? I'm just curious. What, because you said $100 is a high end. What's kind of average?
Yeah. So what you're seeing is on average around $30 on a CPM, right? So you can run the math on it, but you get to some of those more popular shows and 20 to 30, maybe $40 on a CPM is pretty decent. So yeah. you're not seeing huge money in most cases. It's just simply the number of, that's why you hear so many advertisers on the more popular shows. I mean, you can have three pre-roll ads before you even get to the episode itself. And then, you know, host reads in the middle and it gets a little obnoxious, but the reason they're doing it is because the CPMs are not as high as you might think.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. All right. Okay, so we talked about having your own offer, having a product, and then we talked about CPM-based sponsorships and ads. What else you got?
Yeah, I love the idea of, and again, I thought maybe this is where you were going in terms of the consult type of way of thinking here around the show. Maybe this is what you do on the other shows, and I'll pay closer attention because you're probably doing it so subtly, I'm not even hearing it. But let me just suggest this, which is one of my favorite strategies is where you have the ability to turn your guest into your client. So what you can do is you can literally bring someone on who is struggling with a particular arena of their business, whatever that might be. Maybe it's just building an online funnel or coming up with offers or whatever that might be. And during the course of that episode, you step them through their challenge. You help them move through whatever that pain is that they're experiencing. And I'm not saying you completely solve it for them, but you at least demonstrate your expertise enough where it's of value to the person that you're helping. And of course, it's of value to your audience. And then the call to action is just super simple, which is, hey man, if you want me to execute what we just did on this show for you, let's chat. Or of course, the call to action for the audience can be the same thing, which is, hey, if you like what I just did here for blank, let's set up a time to chat and let's have a 15-minute conversation here. And if I can help you, great. And if I can't, I'll let you know. But modeling what you actually do within the framework and the scope of your business on the show in terms of how you help people and what your company does, and then putting forth that offer to the person who you just had on and you help them through that, and of course, then to your audience, is a great way to move from that. Again, what we call it is stepping over dollars to get to dimes, right? It's to focus on the bigger dollars, where if you can pick up a client that's going to pay you 10 grand to execute on building a funnel or something of that nature, how many $7 ebooks do you have to sell to get to one $10,000 client paying you to build a funnel?
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. I just had a mind moment and it's the simplest one. So here's a funny thing. I said I use my podcast to receive consults. So for example, I bring you on and I pick your brain and I learn from you. Yeah. And so selfishly, I would have had, you know, maybe, well, we're friends, so I wouldn't have had to, but in other times, I may have had to pay that person to get that time. But now because I have an audience, they come on. And what happens is for example, I'm asking you questions because I'm actually thinking, how do I apply this to my podcast? So I tend to ask much more specific questions. And the people who are listening end up learning a lot more and enjoy rather than generic questions. But what you just said is super interesting. You flipped it the other way around and it makes perfect sense. So if you are someone that has a specialty, maybe you run a media agency, you do Facebook ad buying, maybe you're a copywriter, maybe you are an interior designer. I don't know. There's like 1,500, 2,000, 50 million things you can be doing. You're a voice coach. You're a speaking coach. I could keep going, you know. You do a podcast where you're the expert and you let other people come on, ask you questions. You help guide them through their problems. And then it's such a natural, like, you're right, so natural. Hey, I love it. That's awesome. And I think you don't even need a lot of people listening, man. You get 100, 200 people listening, you'll start closing clients because... That might be the favorite one yet for people.
And like, I love the copywriting thing, right? Because the copywriting thing is so beautiful because copywriting is so specific to the person that you're helping, right? So when you, like, that's a perfect example. If you're a copywriter and you literally give them the playbook in terms of, all right, let's go through this, blah, 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 whatever my framework is, whatever my process is. You give them those answers. They, of course, have immense value and they're going to want to pay you to actually use that. But then it's also so specific because anyone else who is listening that wants that expertise, what you just said to that guest isn't going to be applicable for them and their business. So, you know what I'm saying? So you're really modeling that expertise. And then the call to action is so simple because it's like, hey, if you love the copywriting that we just created here and you want me to create that for you and your business, let's chat. Right. So I love that example because it's so specific to the guest that you have on that it's impossible for someone to come in and really replicate or rip that off.
That's a good one. And that's one where, so for those of you listening, I had a guest on, his name was Mike Buntempo. He did two episodes about this. This is it's been over a year. And he showed you how to build a six-figure consulting business using nothing but your personal Facebook profile. And in that episode, it was one of my favorite episodes because I felt like that episode took away the excuse from anybody who says that they can't make money online. Because all he said was, if you're really good at something, do it, show your results on your personal Facebook profile, and do a case study. This is what I did. Boom, 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 boom. And that is how he started his agency that's now turned into an almost an eight-figure agency. And he's barely spent money on advertising. He just takes his best results, publishes them on his personal Facebook profile, and then all of us end up reaching, guess what? He's made thousands from me for consults. And so that's what you're saying, Steve, but you're saying do that on a podcast. So create a podcast. And now in his case, he has to wait till he has case studies. But if you do a podcast, people will come to you and you'll say, okay, fine, I'll help you for free as long as you are willing to come on the podcast. And now all people start listening. Oh, I love it. That's a fun one. And I think it gives anybody with any profession a reason to do a podcast and monetize it. Position yourself as the expert. Don't be the interviewer. Be the one who gets interviewed, essentially, on your own podcast.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful strategy and it works really, really cool. Well.
What else you got?
I mean, look, obviously from a monetization standpoint, I mean, one of the things that we have been really, really good at is moving people offline in terms of having our own events. And we talked about the New Media Summit. Next year, we're launching an event called Pod Expo. And so we're really in it. What we preach quite often, obviously it's very, very difficult now, but what we have been preaching for years is that one of the easiest ways to not only, of course, build community, build a tribe, give yourself the opportunity to develop real relationships with people that are, for all intents and purposes, anonymous, right? I mean, that is the one downside of podcasting is you just never really know who's listening. So you have to be super proactive about moving them from that anonymous, just sort of being a passive listener, if you will, into being an active prospect and an active person, so to speak, that has raised their hand to say, yeah, I'm interested in what it is that you're doing, right? That's the challenge, because that's a beautiful thing about podcasting is you can listen anonymously. And of course, that's why some of the shows, are a little more risque and those sort of things. And those shows do really, really well because you just plug it in and nobody knows what you're listening to, which is great. But on the other hand, if you're a business owner and you're using the podcast as a visibility strategy to generate leads and revenue, it becomes a little bit more challenging. So I am a firm believer, and obviously right now we can do this virtually, but when live events come back and you can get people in front of you, whether it's a small workshop or whether it's a retreat or whether it's a larger event, I believe that every podcast has the ability to be translated into an in-person experience. So if you look at the audio file as an example, right? How easy would it be for him to create an event built around the world of this high-end equipment, right? Won't be the biggest event in the whole wide world, but my God, I mean, just talk about developing deep, meaningful relationships with your audience and then moving them into relevant products, programs, and services, or of course, affiliate offers, right? Just having people there who have products that are relevant to the folks that are attending and then getting paid a commission. I mean, this is, you've built your business on this. You know that model better than anybody. So the bottom line is I'm a firm believer in the offline experience and in making it more personal, going belly to belly, chest to chest, hand to hand, when you're not going to obviously die from that, and giving yourself the opportunity to develop that whatever you want to call it, 1,000 true fans, loyal borderline fanatic following, et cetera, et cetera. But there's no better way, especially if you've got a high ticket offer, no better way to sell high ticket offers than obviously face to face.
Love it, man. Awesome. Well, listen, it's been a really powerful episode, giving me some great ideas. And I definitely want to talk about the magazine a little bit. But before we do that, any last monetization tips you want to get out there?
Yeah, consistency, right? I mean, the bottom line is in the podcast world, and you've seen this, you know, Anik, and I was there when you started your show. I mean, not literally there, but we talked about it, and I was excited to see that you did it. And I'm excited to see that you've remained consistent in terms of the production and the release of these episodes. And I would just simply say monetization is going to be a reflection of consistency more than anything else. And you have to stay the course, because the reality is the numbers aren't going to be where you want them to be in the first 3 months, first 6 months, first year, first 2 years. Who knows how long it's going to take? But of the 1,000,006, there's 1,600,000 shows out there right now, man. So it's grown exponentially over the last 9 months. We had about 1,000,000 shows in March. Now we're over 1,000,006 right now. Of those 1,000,006, less than half are releasing new episodes. And of those, less than half have more than 10 episodes in total. So don't get scared by the numbers. I know it seems like everybody and their mother has a podcast. Oh my God, everybody's getting the podcast. Yeah, whatever. The reality is it's only about 250,000 shows right now that have more than 10 episodes and are releasing content on a consistent basis. And if you think, oh, geez, it's 250,000 shows, you know, whatever, compare that to the number of active YouTube channels and some of the other channels. There's 24 million active YouTube channels right now compared to 250,000 active podcasts. Which odds do you like better?
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Man, it's really been an awesome episode. And I want everyone to understand where they can go to learn more and more and more about podcasting, the central hub for podcasting. Podcastmagazine.com/free. I'm assuming they get a free one, like free.
Free lifetime digital subscription. Free lifetime digital subscription. Yep.
That's amazing. Well, can't say no to that, everybody. That's awesome. So podcastmagazine.com/free. Something tells me he'll teach you a lot more about how to do amazing things with podcasts. Steve, anything you want to anything you would like to say to the audience about your podcast magazine or any closing words?
I would just simply add this. I don't think we need to beat the horse any further on Podcast Magazine. Obviously, we'd love to have you join us. It is the only fan-facing, consumer-facing magazine out there, which takes you deeper into the lives of podcasters you love and stories you can't get enough of. But I would just simply leave you with this, which is, I know for a fact that you are the solution to someone else's problem. And there are people who are literally waiting and praying for you to show up in their lives right now. And a podcast literally gives you the opportunity to reach almost anyone, almost anytime, almost anywhere in the world. And even if you don't want to start your own show, which you certainly don't have to, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of shows that are looking for guests just like you. So there's both sides of the microphone. So don't get hung up and I have to start my own show and all that, you know, everything that goes hand in hand with that. Start by being a guest. And there are people, like I said, who are literally praying for you to show up in their lives right now with your singular expertise.
Man, that is awesome. Everyone, make sure you head over to podcastmagazine.com/free. Make sure you head over to learn.com, get your free account with Learn. And of course, onikpodcast.com to binge listen. Okay. So that we get awesome, it shows great algorithmic feedback to all the systems. And then our podcast shoots up the rankings. That's my evil plan. And so everyone, thank you very much for listening. Steve, as always, man, you rocked. Thank you very much for the amazing content. Look forward to having you back again sooner than later so we can talk about the magazine and look underneath the hood of what it takes to launch a magazine. And to the rest of you, remember what I always say, when life pushes you, you stand straight, you smile, and you push it the heck back. Please do leave us a review. I check every week, and every now and then I give away some amazing prizes to those who have left us reviews on iTunes. This is Anik Singhal, and on behalf of everybody here at The Fighting Entrepreneur, I'm signing off and reminding you, make sure you keep fighting for your dreams. Pandemic or not, doesn't matter. We are still breathing, and so we're still fighting. I'll see you on the next one.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Anik Singhal.